Whosoever him believes, eternal life shall have. Number 140 for our opening hymn. Our sins on Christ were laid before the mighty Lord. Our ransom Christ he fully paid by his own precious blood. For God so loved the world, his only Son he gave. That whosoever in me lives, eternal life shall have. To save a world he died. Sinners, behold the Lamb. Believe upon the crucified. There's healing in his name. For God so loved the world, his only Son he gave, that whosoever in believes, eternal life shall have. Pardon and peace abound, he will your sins forgive.
Whosoever him believes. But don't get hung up on believing. Look to Christ. He can save you. I wasn't sure what other song I would pick because I didn't have another song, but I think what we'll do is go right to the next one, 141. And some of you may know that this is the song they were singing when I trusted Christ. And they were singing the last verse. The last verse says, out of Christ without a Savior, trust him with all thine heart. Ere the door of mercy closes and you hear his word, depart. The chorus goes, and this is 141 again. The chorus says, oh, to be without a Savior, with no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be? O blessed Savior, one without thee dares to die. 141.
Out of Christ without a Savior, no can it be, like a ship without a rudder, on a wild and stormy sea. Oh, to be without a Savior, with no hope or
Once again, welcome to our meeting tonight. And as I said, I'll just speak, and Dean couldn't make it, but I'll speak and we'll close the meeting. So, meetings of the week. Tomorrow night, there'll be youth group at 6:30, ages 12 and up. And Thursday night here, there'll be a ministry meeting, is it? Ministry meeting this week on Thursday at 7:30. And then Sunday morning here, we have the breaking of bread at 10, again, like we did today. So let's bow our heads and pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he loved us so much, and God, his Father, loved us so much that he came into this world to become man. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And not only did he become man, came to into our world, but he went to the cross and died. He died even the death of the cross, it says. That's how much he loved us. He was willing to suffer and die for our sins. And so it's the greatest message that can ever be told. And it's a message and it's a story that we will tell and hear for all eternity. For the great song and the great message of heaven is that worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And it was his blood that was shed. We will sing unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So we pray for help tonight in this meeting. We pray for anyone here who is not saved, that they would realize they need to be saved. Anyone here who knows they need to be saved, that they would make it a priority tonight to trust Christ for salvation. Choose Christ. We pray for others that may be preaching, like in Summerside, with Brody and Tim and in other places. Ask for blessing. We pray for them too up in Labrador as they travel to Postville or the other community and ask for blessing there and for the souls there that they will visit on these today and the coming days. And we ask for safety too as we travel home later. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So we'll read one verse, John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3 and verse 16. Maybe before we read that, I saw something on the internet in the last few days, on the news, and this is, I'm not casting a slur at anyone who didn't come tonight because of safety reasons, but I was thinking of this in dedication to anything. So this was on the Associated Press website. Some fans at a Cold Chiefs playoff game underwent amputations, the hospital confirms. This is a hospital in Kansas City, Missouri. I believe it is. Some of the people who attended the near-record Cold Kansas City Chiefs playoff game in January had to undergo amputations after suffering frostbite, a Missouri hospital said Friday. Research Medical Center didn't provide exact numbers, but said in a statement that it treated dozens of people who had experienced frostbite during an 11-day cold snap in January. 12 of those people, including some who were at the January 13 game, this is a football game, had to undergo amputations involving mostly fingers and toes. And the hospital said more surgeries are expected over the next 2 to 4 weeks, as injuries evolve. The University of Kansas Hospital said it also treated frostbite victims after the game, but didn't report any amputations. The temperature for the Dolphins-Chiefs wild card playoff game was -4 degrees Fahrenheit, which in Canada, -20 degrees Celsius. And wind gusts made for a wind chill of -27 degrees Fahrenheit, which is -33 degrees Celsius. That shattered the record for the coldest game in Arrowhead Stadium history, which had been 1 degree Fahrenheit, set in a 1983 game against Denver a match in 2016 against Tennessee. Now these games, for those who don't know, and I didn't know, they last between 2.5 and 4 hours, these football games. These people were willing to stand outside for between 2.5 and 4 hours in negative 30 wind chill and watch a game. And now they're losing fingers and toes. Now how dedicated are we in what we do? This is far more important than a game. That game, after the game the next day, didn't really matter whether the Chiefs won or lost. But after this meeting, if you reject Christ, you'll be in hell forever if you die that way. How much more dedicated should we be than Chiefs fans? But anyway, that's just something I read, and I thought I would mention it. But once again, people that didn't attend tonight for safety reasons, that's a different story altogether. So let's read in John 3, verse 16. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Once again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was thinking of something else for tonight. I was thinking of the Passover, but I couldn't bring myself to speak on that. Couldn't seem to get it together simple enough, so I came to John 3 and 16. It's always a good go-to verse. Whenever you want something simple and straightforward. And I thought about three different things in this verse. There's two parties in the verse. Parties are groups. There's God and there's man. And there's one person that can bring them together, the Lord Jesus. So you've heard it before. 25 words in John 3:16. 12 about God and 12 about me. Son in the center, verse 16, John 3. The Son is in the center, he can bring God and man together. That's also in Job chapter 9 and also in 1 Timothy 2 and 5. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Also, I thought of the two wonders in this verse. Number one, that God loves the world. Isn't that a wonder? And number two, the greater wonder, perhaps the greatest wonder of all time. He loved the world so much that he sent his Son. The two wonders in the verse. But then the two possibilities in the verse. You have a possibility tonight of receiving everlasting life. But there's also a possibility it would be a tragedy. You could go out from this meeting, you could reject Christ and reject him until the Lord came or until you died and you could perish. The two parties in the verse, God and man, can be brought together through the Lord Jesus. There's two wonders in the verse. The fact that God loves the world, but the fact that God sent his Son. And then the third thing. There's two possibilities. You could be saved through the Lord Jesus, or you could perish through rejecting the Lord Jesus. Everything depends on the Lord Jesus. So the two parties, there's God and men. So on God's side, well, let's just start back in Genesis 3. God made men, Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. God provided everything for him that he would need. He provided him with light. Of course, when you build a house, we know we build houses. You need lights in the house. He provided him with food. Of course, God gave him everything he needed. When we build houses, we put a fridge plug and we put a fridge in the house, or somebody does. And you put food in the fridge. You need food. God provided a good environment. Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, a garden, a place where he could live and expand and raise his family. And reproduce. But God wanted man to obey him and worship him. And man rebelled in Genesis chapter 3 because the Satan tempted them. Satan tempted the woman, deceived her. She ate of the fruit that God said you should not eat of it. She gave it to her husband and he ate. And the moment Adam ate that fruit, he started a rebellion that goes on still. And he started the process of sin, the entrance of sin into this world. And it's still bubbling and increasing. Sin is abounding. And it's creating more and more problems every year. And they will only be solved when the Lord Jesus comes and asserts his authority in the world. So there's God, who did everything he could for man. And then there's man, who rebelled against God and continues to do so. Man in his wickedness. How could these parties be brought together? Well, you say, is there any way that a holy God could join with sinful men? Well, there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus. That's why God gave his Son. And God sent his Son into the world. This verse over here on my left. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It says in John 1 verse 1 that in the beginning was the Word. That's the Lord Jesus. But as the Word is God's message to mankind. God's language. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Lord Jesus was in heaven. But then it says in John 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God became man through Jesus Christ. So God sent his Son into the world. Then the Lord Jesus, in order to be our mediator, he had to give himself as a ransom for all. 1 Timothy 2 and 5 again. There is one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. In Job, where it talks about the mediator, I had the verse written down, but Job 9 and verse 33. Job says, "Oh, that there were a day's man, a man between us, me and God, that could reach his hand upon us both, that could lay his hand upon God and lay his hand upon me." Job was longing for a mediator. You know what? Job's longing was answered in the Lord Jesus. He could bring God and men together. He is God. And he is man, all in one person. So the two parties can be brought together in the Lord Jesus, the Son. But then the two wonders in the verse. For God so loved the world. You know, I spoke in this verse over at the long term a few months ago, and I said, God doesn't really love the world of mountains and trees and flowers and stars. Well, God created that. But God loves the world of you and me. Lost sinners. Wicked sinners. God loves a world of sinners that blaspheme his name. There was somebody that blasphemed his name twice on Friday in my car. I did say something about it. And I usually do. Because it's not right. For man, God's creature, to take his name in vain. You know, John Procopio told a story. He was walking into Kent back when he was having meetings here one of the times. And there's a door where you're supposed to go into Kent, and a woman was coming out. So she went to push on the door, I think, and he pulled it just at that time, and she said, "Jesus!" He gave her a scare. He said, "No, John. He didn't do it. I did." And she didn't know what to think. But why would she blame Jesus? Because the door, she gets scared. There's no reason for that other than the fact that man is at war with God and men despise Jesus and his name. God loves people like that, that take his name in vain. You know, God loves little boys and girls. God loves little boys that don't want to say their memory verse. I'm going to knock that over. And God loves little girls, maybe, that will close their ears when they don't want to hear God's word. And God loves older people when they turn their back on him and when they deny that he created the world and deny that he exists. God loves them all. He loves every single one. But we come to the second wonder, and that's that God loves. God loved the world so much that he gave his son. Why would God give his son? Well, let's read the first part of the verse again. For God so loved the world. And in the original language of the Bible, the word so and the word that are together. For God loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. It would be a wonder if God gave his son. But God didn't just give his son, God gave his only son. And not just his only son, listen to it. His only begotten son. That's a unique expression in the Word of God. I believe it's used of five different people, of Isaac. Then there's the boy, or the man who had a boy who was a demoniac. He says, he's my only son, my only child. And then there's the man, the ruler of the synagogue, who had one daughter, 12-year-old daughter. And she was dying. She was at the point of death when he came to Jesus, but she died in the meantime. And he says, she's my only daughter. It was so dear to him that he would come and beg for her life to the Lord Jesus. But you know, God, he had one only unique son, only begotten son. That's a wonder, isn't it? That God would give his only begotten son for you and me. So there's the two wonders in the verse. But then there's the two possibilities in the verse. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, the Bible puts the perishing first, so we'll talk about that one first. The possibility is, even a person that's born in a Christian home, a person that hears the gospel, a person that knows better, it's possible for them to perish and to be in hell by rejecting Christ. You know, you will suffer for your sins if you die without Christ. The Lord Jesus told people in John chapter 8, he said to them, if ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And where I am, ye cannot come. Here, it's perish. You know this word perish means to lose. So sometimes, like in Luke 15, there's the perishing or the lost sheep. My brother Tim was speaking about that chapter this week, three or four nights. There's the lost sheep, he's perishing. He will die. And then there's the coin that's lost. But it has no value when it's lost, so it's perished. But then there's the son, the lost son, who's perishing with hunger. He says, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. To perish means to be lost, but if you perish, you will lose all. Lose all. You know, there's a saying, I forget exactly how it goes, but it's something like this. To lose your wealth is bad. To lose your health is worse, it's more. But to lose your soul is such a cost that no one or nothing can restore. To lose your soul, like it is in this verse, it's a serious thing. You know, there is a real heaven where I am 100% sure I'm going. I'm as sure as our brother Douglas used to repeat from the pulpit, and brother Hazen as well. I'm as sure I'm going to be in heaven as if I'm already there. Because the Bible says, whosoever believes in him has everlasting life. There's a real heaven. I'm sure I'm going to be there, but there's also a real hell. And our brother Hazen used to repeat it. He was in soul trouble for 3 years. And he said, I was as sure I was going to be in hell as if I was already there. That's how real he thought about hell. There's a real hell, and there's a possibility If you keep lingering in your sins, if you keep putting this off and keep despising or thinking little of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, there's a possibility that you could lose all your privilege and be in hell. You know, in hell, it says there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. We were at a funeral yesterday and we heard weeping. It's not enjoyable listening to weeping, is it? When there's not really anything you can do. But in hell, there's weeping that never ends, and wailing and gnashing of teeth from the pain. But there's a man in Luke 16, the man on the chart. He wants one drop of water, but there's no water in hell. No water in hell. I'll just tell this story. There's a man, I forget his name now, but he used to preach in Alaska. Preached there for years. He was actually from South Africa. And he was talking to a guy that was making his funeral arrangements. And the guy said, put a fishing pole, a fishing rod in my casket for when I die. I'll be able to fish. And he said, listen, I'm telling you, there's no water in hell. You know, that spoke to that man. And a while later, he was saved. But that's the truth. There's no water in hell. You know, what the things that entertain us now? Well, for my daughter, it's Peppa Pig and it's Paw Patrol. And if I'm watching with her, I like Tom and Jerry or something else. But, you know, all the things that entertain us, Roblox. That I used to watch a guy playing that, and I don't know what they all play now for the shooting games, but there's no Netflix in hell. People can sit and watch Netflix for hours, stay up all night. None of that in hell. There's nothing to pass the time, just the gnawing away, the torment, but the gnawing away at the conscience that I wouldn't have to be here because the Lord Jesus died to save me from this place. So we'll talk about that. Here's the two possibilities. One, to perish. But the other is, have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus was talking to a man. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus is a speaker, but he's the subject of the verse. A son that you can believe in. But the Lord Jesus was talking to a man, Nicodemus. And he was saved at some point here in verse 16. He believed the message. You know, anytime I'm quoting this verse to you tonight, you could believe it and be saved, just like Nicodemus. But if you go back to verse 14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Lord Jesus already told him about the cross. Well, we'll talk about that just for a second. So it says in the verse that God gave his only begotten Son. It says in, we talked about the verse here. Christ Jesus came into the world. It talks in 1 John 4:14 that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. But it says in Romans 8, verse 32, that God that spared not his own Son. That's saying that his Son was going to be harshly treated and suffer and die, and God didn't spare his own Son. We try to shield our children, don't we? And rightly so. God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. God gave his Son into the hands of sinful and wicked men. And they took him, and they beat him, and they plowed his back, they whipped his back, they put a crown of thorns on his head, they spit on him. His own people took him, they nailed him to a cross. It says in Zechariah that he was wounded in the house of his friends. Imagine. And it says, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. They just sat there and they watched the one that they pierced. You know, the Romans actually drove the nails and put him on the tree. But it was really the Jews, his own people, who were guilty. They were the ones that yelled to Pilate, crucify him. We don't want him. Crucify him. This is all included in this. But then, the Lord Jesus hadn't died, we couldn't be saved. The Lord Jesus did die in the place of the ungodly. The Lord Jesus hadn't been buried. There would be no proof of his death. That was the proof of his death. But if the Lord Jesus was never raised from the dead, by his own power, there would be no salvation. He's a living Savior. The fact that he's alive is also the proof that he will judge the world in the coming day. So the Lord Jesus, the one who was crucified, who was buried, who rose again and lives in heaven and is able to save, he's the one that is the subject of this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, get your eyes onto Christ if you want to be saved. Don't be looking at yourself. Don't be looking at other men. Get into the Word of God and get looking at the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. And if you believe on him, if you trust in him, you'll have everlasting life. So the verse starts with God. For God so loved the world. The verse ends with being with God. To have everlasting life is to enjoy God in this life and to be with him forever. You know, children, boys and girls, and older ones, wouldn't you accept the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Don't put it off any longer. You could be saved through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not trusting in yourself, in your own works, or in any man-made religion. It's only through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ you could be saved. I plead with you, accept this tonight. You know, if you reject Christ, if you go out that door tonight rejecting Christ, there's a greater possibility that the next time you hear the gospel, you reject him too. But if you would take him tonight, you would be saved. I will bow our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ again, that he's able to save every single sinner. And we have experienced that ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ offers a full and free salvation. It's an eternal salvation. It's a great salvation that we have. We have joy as well. We pray for each one here that's not saved, even those who are saved, that we would enjoy it more and want to tell others and win souls for the Master. But we pray especially for those who are in danger of perishing, that they would trust Christ tonight. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Okay. We'll sing number 217. 217, and maybe I'll get someone else to start this one. I've been singing for a long time. I sang at the villa as well, so maybe I'll take a break here. 217, we're traveling home to heaven above. Will you go? Will you go? To sing the Savior's dying love. Will you go? Millions have reached that blissful shore. Their trials and their labors o'er, and yet there's room for millions more. Will you go? Thank you again for coming, number 217.